the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. I have no funny, quippy things to say this time. Let's get right to business.
Wow.
Don's shocked.
Yeah, I'm speechless.
I'm maturing as I...
Okay, now
someone said yesterday, oh, man, yeah, you have a lot of red in your beard. You know that's going to turn white real fast. I was like, oh, is that true? Red hair turns white faster? So I'm going for a wise wisdom look with my beard here. So,
and if it did turn white, that would look wise.
People would be like, how old is he? 50? 50 is so old. Anyways, if you're tuning in for the first time, maybe we record a podcast just about every week almost. And lots of times it's from questions that come in or just people are saying, hey, I'm wrestling with this or I've always wondered about this. Can you guys talk about that? And we, as often as we can, just try and point you to the Bible. Like Don and I really have no, you know, wisdom in and of ourselves. It's about the Bible. That's where we go for our answers.
Amen. They're wise leaders.
I'm stroking my beard as I say this. So we had not so much a question, but one of our listeners said, would you guys do a podcast about angels? So no, like real specific, you know, how many angels can balance on the head of a pin or all that. I remember in university, there was a group of guys having I'm taking an intro to theology class, so I'm really smart now. It's like, okay. And they're talking about angels and could God make a burrito so hot that he couldn't eat it? I'm like, guys, that's not important. So more so along the lines of, okay, like what, like we'll try and maybe answer a few questions in this podcast. Like, what are angels? What do they do? Do they, like, are they real? Like, you know, so just to kind of maybe just an intro to kind of those questions. So I guess we'll just start with that. What are angels?
Don,
I often do that. Just drop
up
the
what? Well, angels are created beings that were there before creation. I think before the world was created, and they were created to worship God, serve God, and we know somewhere in there that there was some of them that rebelled against God with their head leader Satan. But yeah, they were created in the beginning, and we know there seems to be a tier in the angelic system. There's the archangels, there's guardian angels, there's seems to be the regular angels. and according to some scriptures, Satan was the top angel created to worship God and lead the way in doing that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they were there before Adam and Eve were created. So,
yeah, I like that you started with that they are created. One definition I wrote down from one of my big theology books: angels are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. So they're spiritual beings, right? Like how we say, you know, God is spirit, right? God the Father. He doesn't have a physical body, and so the angels are also created. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's not like, you know, God and the angels have always existed. Angels are they're a created spiritual being. So even a couple verses, you know, even in Colossians talking about Jesus says, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So I love that Paul says that.
Yeah.
Everything is created through Jesus, invisible and visible. Things in heaven, things on earth. So angels are created by God. They are, yeah, spiritual beings, and they don't have physical bodies, although sometimes in Scripture you can see that they come and they appear in front of people as, you know, men or people, and they look like they have physical bodies.
When they visited Abraham, two of them were angels.
Yeah.
In a body.
Yeah, they exactly.
Ate with Abraham.
Which is just trippy to think about,
right? It is.
So they are. They're these created beings. And then, like you said, Dawn, some sinned and fell from their positions. So it's even interesting in, you know, God created them with moral judgment, it seems, because it's not, again, it's not like they're robots who never could choose. Some chose to rebel against God, and they chose to follow Satan. And I have tons of scripture written down. Maybe we won't read all of it, but in 2 Peter 2 and in Jude verse 6, it talks about how some fell away from their positions and they followed Satan in this rebellion against God. In the Bible, there's lots of other names for angels. Sometimes they're called holy ones. In Daniel, they're called watchers. In Job, they're called sons of God, like small s, yeah. Sons of God. So there's lots of different names for them. And you kind of mentioned even, you know, that there seems to be different classes or types of angels. I mean, you have cherubim, which are weirdly described, right? Mm-hmm. They were told cherubim guard the entrance of the Garden of Eden. In Psalm 18 and Ezekiel 10, it says that God rides on cherubim like a chariot, which is just a bizarre picture. There's seraphim, which is another described in Isaiah 6, that just are in the presence of God, worshiping God. Is that seraphim the one with, you know, two wings covered yeah. his face and two wings covered his feet two and two flying. Wings? So they have six wings. It's kind of like, okay. This is bizarre, but, you know, they have seraphim. And then in Revelation, it talks about these living creatures, which some have said, hey, maybe those are a class of angels, mm-hmm. these four living creatures. One looks like a man, and one looks like an ox, and one looks like a bird, and one looks like a something, bear.
Bear, leopard, ox.
And then it says they have eyes all over them, yeah. and it's just so, I mean, bizarre imagery, but you see maybe different types mm-hmm. of angels. You have cherubim and seraphim and living creatures. And do you know, here's your pop quiz, what are the only two named angels in the Bible?
Michael and Gabriel.
Come closer to the mic there. What'd you say?
Michael and Gabriel.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow,
way to
cool.
go. Ding, ding. Oh, yeah. We should have had a contest for people to right in, and they yeah. could win a prize. But yeah, the only names of angels are Michael and Gabriel, and I guess Satan would be a name of a fallen angel.
He doesn't count.
But Michael is talked about as this great warrior angel, and some have said maybe he's kind of, well, obviously if he's named, he's important. So maybe he leads the armies of the
Seems
angels.
To be leading Israel or something like that. Or,
yeah, because even in Revelation 12, it says that, you know, Michael is at war with the dragon, and this imagery there. And then Gabriel, a lot of times, is an angel that kind of acts as a messenger. He comes to Mary and tells Mary about the news that, hey, you're going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And so it's just interesting that we have kind of, I don't know, more information about those two angels, these angels of prominence in the Bible, I guess, that God has given specific tasks to.
Other places, when Samson was born, an angel came and told them he was going to be born. And I remember that they asked him, what's your name? And he says, it's too wonderful for you. I'm not going to tell you.
Isn't that great?
And it's really interesting how, that works out there. They don't give their names. We're messengers from God, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's important to remember too, like, angels are finite creatures, meaning that they're not all knowing like God is. They're not omnipresent. So they can't be everywhere at once like God is. So, because it can be tempting to say, like, man, angels sound pretty great. Maybe mm-hmm. they're kind of right up there with God. And no, God is on a completely different level as far as power and glory and might. So angels can't be everywhere at once. Angels are not all-knowing. And I love that they are messengers of God. They do God's work. You know, some of the things that we see them doing is that angels show the greatness of God's love and his plan for us. Angels remind us that the unseen world is real. A lot of times angels carry out God's plan. They carry out judgment a lot of times in the Old Testament. You think about Exodus when the angel of death comes right. and he carries out God's judgment against Egypt. Angels, like we've mentioned, Gabriel, they bring messages to people. And we see all a few times in scripture that they are warring against demonic forces. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of, they're God's messengers, and God uses them to do his work in the world, really. Yeah,
even in like Matthew 25, where we're working through our sermons in on Sunday morning, we're going to look at Matthew 25, and I think it said there that the angels are going to gather all the people and separate them on the right and on the left when the sun comes in his glory. So that's interesting, too, how they're going to be involved in the final days, too, doing God's will and working to bring the end to conclusion. So the angels will play a prominent role there as well, doing what God wants them to do. But that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Right? So it is like, you know, because we thought about, okay, so that's what angels are throughout Scripture. They're these messengers of God. There's these, they are these spiritual beings. They carry out God's purposes. But to keep in mind, Don looks like he's going to ask
I'm going to ask you a question.
A hard question
here.
You put
me on the spot before. So there's this thought that we all have a guardian angel. And so I think that was one of the questions that came up with this. Do we all have this angel that is watching over us? And I know we have a passage that seems to suggest that. What do you think there, Andrew?
Sounds great. But, so I'm going to read three passages.
What?
Wait, what? Right? But I have the Cherished Memories Bible where it has the, do you remember that Bible? Like the Cherished, and you can buy the little like figurines that came with it, and it showed like.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. Blasphemy. So three passages I'm going to read that lots of people point to and say, hey, that seems to suggest that maybe we have guardian angels. So Psalm 91, you know, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So some have said, well, look, God commands his angels to guard all of us in all of our ways. So, you know, maybe that means that we each get an angel assigned to us. Matthew 18. Let me just read all three, Don. Don looks like he's chomping at the bit here. Matthew 18, Jesus is teaching and he says, you know, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who's in heaven. So some have said, well, look, it seems to be suggesting Jesus is saying that, you know, don't despise these little ones because their angels are in heaven. And so does that suggest that, you know, each kind of child, each little one has a guardian angel? And then the last one that I think kind of maybe people say, maybe that means that each person has an angel in Acts 12, 15. If you remember, Peter is in prison and the church is gathered and they're praying for him. And it says, Peter comes to the door, right? And he knocks and what's her name? Rhoda. Rhoda comes and answers and it's Peter. She goes upstairs and she says, Peter's at the door. And in verse 15, it says, they said to her, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept on saying, it is his angel. So some have said, well, based on those three passages, maybe we have an angel. For me, I'm not convinced. I think, you know, the Psalm 91 doesn't specifically say, you know, hey, your guardian angel will protect you. It just seems to suggest that angels play some type of role in protecting followers of Jesus. No, it doesn't say that we each get our own, but that angels are one of their responsibilities, it seems to suggest, is that they protect those who follow Jesus. The Matthew 18 one, if you kind of dig into that again, it's not, for me, I'm not convinced that it's saying, hey, each one of these little kids has their own angel, but there seems to be, are there angels, you know, assigned to to protect believers? Sure. In the book of Revelation, it seems to suggest that maybe there's an angel for each church because Jesus goes and he says to the angel of the church at Smyrna or Philadelphia, say this. So in other places in the Bible, it seems to suggest that there's an angel for each nation. So, I mean, you could argue, is there an angel for each nation? Maybe. Is there an angel for each church? Maybe. Is there an angel for each follower of Jesus? I'm not convinced. Now, that might disappoint some of you. What? I don't have my own guardian angel. The point is, we do have angels that do protect followers of Jesus. So
even in Matthew 18, when it talks about little ones, not necessarily children, right?
No.
Like little ones is often believers, and it says they're angels.
Yeah.
So the believers' angels are ministering for them, to them.
Yeah, because we kind of walked through Matthew 18, and Jesus uses the example of a child as an illustration, you know, for, hey, you got to become like children to enter my kingdom. And yeah, you're right. Often, it's that kind of metaphor that, you know, we're called children of God. So it's not saying each and every child has a guardian angel, as cozy as that sounds, but rather, yeah, those who follow Jesus, we have angels that, how it works, I have no idea. How they're assigned, no idea. Yeah. So, but there seems to, the Bible seems to suggest that, we do have angels that are involved in protecting and guarding followers of Jesus. And then the Peter one is just interesting. That one kind of throws me for a loop, but you know, it's his angel, and maybe they meant ghost, because even in that culture, there could have been like, I saw his ghost. He's not here. Or angel, or someone that looks like Peter, because it would be like, but wait, she's saying it looks like Peter. So is there an angel that looks like Peter? I don't know. So that one's kind of more, I don't know, a little perplexing that you go, what's going on there? Don, do you have any wisdom?
Like when Rhoda goes to the door and thinks she sees Peter?
Yeah.
Like it is Peter, right?
Yeah.
So what are you saying there?
Oh, I'm saying that when they said, well, it's not Peter, it's his angel.
So why would they say that?
What they meant. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, that was
it. Because, I mean, they're... For them, they're convinced, well, Peter's in jail.
Yeah, so how on earth could he
be Peter? So now, who is this?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're in their thought. And I think even when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, I mean, they thought it's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
So obviously there was some kind of belief in ghosts and angels appearing. And they knew, I mean, being Jews, they knew angels could appear. So they were actually quite open to that whole thing there. So if Peter's obviously in jail, it must be an angel, because Rhoda's obviously convinced she saw something.
Yeah, so there's got to be something out there.
The door, like, can you guys open
the
door?
Yeah, he's banging on the door.
Kind of vulnerable out here.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So then... Don, what, and we kind of maybe touched a little bit on this, but so angels exist. We believe that. The Bible seems to suggest that angels are involved in carrying out God's plan, but kind of, I don't know, what's the point? Why did God, like, what's the purpose of angels? Why do they exist? What's the point? And should we care that much or what? Like,
good question. And I think it's a relevant question, because even in today's culture, there's a lot of talk about angels, and actually there's a lot of speakers that are claiming to have, I mean, we know the founder of the Mormons claims to have heard from an angel. We even have speakers today who have claimed to hear from angels and have said, this is what he told me. And so you're going like, is that possible? Mm-hmm. And so that is something to talk about. And in Colossians, Paul is addressing people who, and even in Hebrews 1, there's this heavy emphasis on angels and this worship of angels and seeing visions. And Paul, in the writer to Hebrews, is warning them to be very careful that angels are simply created by God to assist in his plan of turning people to him and to not to worship them or lift them higher than they are. And even when Revelation, I think John wants to worship this angel. He said, don't do it. I'm just a fellow servant serving God just like you. Mm-hmm. And so he says, do not do this. Do not worship me. Mm-hmm. And so they're sent to assist. And we see glimpses of this when he sends Gabriel to Mary and to Zechariah and other cases where God uses them to do his plan, but to turn people to him or give a message from him. Mm. So it's always this thing going on.
Yeah, I think I like what you said, because C.S. Lewis said that quote about the demonic, that we shouldn't be overly interested or not interested at all, mm-hmm. because either are dangerous. And I would say probably the same applies to angels, that We should care, because it does. It reveals this. There is a spiritual realm that exists that we don't necessarily see with our eyes all the time. Maybe God gives glimpses of, you know, the spiritual realm if someone says they claim to see things or whatever. And yet that's the positive. It's a good reminder. Like God, there's a spiritual realm. But on the flip side, we're never told anywhere in scripture, hey, pursue angels, try and get angels to appear to you. It's just like, it's one of those things that we're not really ever told to pursue it. God, that's just like, they exist. Be satisfied with that almost.
And it's dangerous to pursue it, because the fallen angels, who we know are demons and their leader is Satan, Paul says Satan acts like an angel of light. He masquerades as an angel of light. I mean, he's trying to deceive us. And if we're looking for angels, looking for out of body experiences, Satan's going to take advantage of that to deceive. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's good that you said it's a warning not to pursue that, but to be aware that there is this creation part that we just get glimpses of.
Yeah. And it's
that is helping.
Because it's almost even, and we mentioned this a while ago with spiritual warfare, like throughout the New Testament, Paul and other writers, they never give us like, here's your step-by-step guide to battling spirits. We're never actually told to, and you know, there's this movement today where we got to go in and actively like, I'm going to find out where that demon is and fight him.
There's Michael the angel. There's also a demon there.
Yeah, and we got to go. And Paul and other writers, they it's almost like they tell you, hey, be aware. Like, don't be dumb. There is spiritual warfare. And guard yourself and be ready. But that's never – throughout the New Testament, the focus is, hey, live holy, righteous lives and repent and follow Jesus. And there is a spiritual war going on, but – you know, Peter doesn't sit down and go, hey, here's your 10-step guide to battling demons. It's not the focus.
Peter and Paul say that they're all in subjection to Jesus. He's already defeated them. So to move in that victory.
Yeah. So same with the angelic, like there is this obsession, I think, with some people that like, whether it's visits from angels or visions, or I took a trip to heaven or all of these things. And nowhere are we told that like, hey, that's the most important thing. Like, cause it's not. So I love that you mentioned the Colossians 2 one. I'll read that one, because angel worship seemed to be happening, or there was a group that was trying to push, hey, let's worship angels. And Paul says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. So that's Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that's from God. So Paul's even warning, like, hey, don't be obsessed with visions and worshiping angels, and because you just become puffed up. Mm-hmm. And I like that you mentioned in Revelation 19, where John is tempted to fall on his face and worship the angel. And it's just so cool that the angel just says, no, I'm a fellow servant. Worship God. Don't worship me. So it's just a good reminder that we don't want to become overly obsessed with that kind of stuff, like demonic or angelic or anything like in the supernatural realm. Like, the point is we should all be obsessed with Jesus, really. And all of these other things exist, and I believe that angels are real and demons are real and they operate, but I don't build my life around that, yeah. I guess.
So like in Hebrews, we're told that, you know, even sometimes entertaining strangers, they're right. angels. And in Acts 27, when Paul's on this shipwreck, he says, an angel came to me last night and told me what's going to happen. Like,
right.
we're going to make it, but here's how it's going to work. And I guess maybe a question we should answer or throw your way is, like, what about today? I mm-hmm. mean, people... We've already said that some people are claiming to have visions from angels, and do angels appear? And what do we do with that yeah. when someone says, I think an angel visited me?
Yeah. So that's a good question, because – so have you ever encountered an angel in your life or think that you might have?
I think I might have.
Okay.
I'll even tell a story about
sure.
One of our grandmothers when she was at the bedside of, I think, one of her children who was not well and was getting close to death. She writes this, and I think in a diary, that when the time came that it looked like it was the end, just the moment before she passed away, she was in the room alone, and all of a sudden the room got bright, and she says an angel came down.
Wow.
And at the moment that her child died, this angel came and they both disappeared. The spirit, and she was gone then, and she writes, and it would have been very difficult for her to write that this is the experience I had.
Wow.
So she says, I saw an angel.
That's
and my
cool.
my only kind of neat experiences as a kid, or well, teenager, 14, 15 years old, it was spring break, and we were outside on a nice hot summer day, and in our farming community in southern Manitoba, we didn't see colored people ever, I don't think.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, this guy came walking out of the trees towards us, and we kind of looked like, what's he doing here? And he asked if our parents were home, and we said no. And he said, could I ask you for a favor? Could I ask for a cup of cold water? And I knew the scripture that says, even a cup of cold water will be remembered. I'm going like, what is happening here?
Huh.
So I went inside, got a cup of cold water. He drank it, and then he walked back through the trees and gone. And we lived at the edge of a small village. So I was really baffled. I'm going, who is
what
this?
What just happened?
So actually, I waited about a minute or so, and then I ran through the trees to the road to see where he was, and he was gone.
Wow.
I didn't see him. So he could have slipped into somebody's driveway,
sure.
but he didn't have enough time to really do it. So I was just thinking, like, did an angel just come and ask for a cup
wow.
of water? I can't say, was it an
right.
angel? But
what a neat
but
experience.
For me, I was just, wow. You know, he came for a cup of cold water, walked away, and just seemingly disappeared. And so I just remember it vividly to this day.
Hmm.
So an interesting experience.
Wow. Yeah, for me, like I do think that – 'cause the question was, yeah, does that stuff still happen today? And then how do you make sense of some of the far-out stuff? So, I mean, I do think that angels and demons still operate in the world today. I think it's pretty ignorant when people in North America – say, nope, because we're so rationalistic. So
yeah.
the rest of the world that where this happens all the time, you're all wrong. I think that's pretty ignorant to say that. My only experience is, yeah, when we actually went to Africa this past April, we were at a church service. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but we did see a demon manifest itself, and it was cast out of this young girl. So that was my first experience seeing the demonic. And it was very interesting. It wasn't scary. It was, and it wasn't blown out of proportion. It was just with the authority of Jesus, the pastor cast this demon out and service kind of went on as usual. And it was
wow.
interesting because afterwards I chatted with him for a couple hours and he said, yeah, that happens all the time. It was just kind of normal
yeah.
for them.
Wow.
So I think one of the reasons that maybe we become very skeptical, even in North America, is because we – like whether you think or not, we've bought into a materialistic,
yeah.
naturalistic worldview where we find it hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say though, we owe like with the word of God given to us, any angel who would come, right? And Paul says that even in Galatians, even if an angel comes and preaches a different gospel, kick that angel out. He says, don't believe them.
Yeah.
So I find it hard to believe when people claim to have an angel came and visited me, and then you listen to the message and it's like, but you're contradicting the Bible. So no angel that's a messenger of Jesus would ever do that. Now, is that potentially a demon then? I would think so, because we're told that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light seeking to deceive people. Yeah. So I think it takes a ton of discernment when we either, A, you have an experience like that, or when someone else says, hey, I had this vision, or I saw an angel in my room, I think we go, okay, well, what did he say? And let's be actually critical about it. I think we're supposed to be. Now, I'm always skeptical, especially of those in positions of authority or pastors or who claim, because more often than not, I've seen it just used to gain power and fame and money. So I always struggle when it's kind of like, hey guys, an angel told me that I'm great and I'm powerful and God's going to use me. I go, oh boy, that just reminds me of Colossians, puffed up. Yeah. So I'm always skeptical. Now, I'll give you an example too, like, because you shared a story. I've never encountered an angel that I know of, right? Maybe. But it was neat. My mom, a few years ago, and I can't remember if I shared this story already, but this is before she lost her voice, and I'm sure she's fine with me sharing this, hopefully.
Too late.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But she was going in to have a surgery to have a mass removed from her trachea. So they were going to remove a piece of her trachea and then kind of stretch it and reattach it. And they kind of said that, you know, one out of 500,000 people lose their voice in this operation. So it was before this operation was going to happen. And it was in Revelstoke, and my mom and dad are in their room, and my sister Laura is visiting. This was before she was married. So this would have been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And my mom says all of a sudden, she just saw what she describes as like a cloud in their room, like kind of a swirling cloud thing. And she was just kind of, again, my mom is very biblically, she like knows her Bible, and she's very rational. So at first she was just kind of like, what? So then she kind of wakes my dad up and like, are you seeing this? And my dad is, yes, slightly freaking out as well. So they're kind of going like, what is this weird thing? And so my dad, again, very biblical, is saying, okay, if this is from the enemy, we're bought by the blood of Jesus. You're not allowed to be here. So if you're from the enemy, you must leave in Jesus' name. And it just kind of stayed there. And so then they called my sister Laura, get in here. So my sister's freaking out. It's the middle of the night. Lie down on the bed. And she's like, okay. And then they're like, do you see anything? And she's like, no. What are you guys doing? Like, are you guys all right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't see the cloud over the bed? And she's like, no. And then so she went back to bed, freaked out. And then my mom heard a voice that said, my grace is sufficient for you for what's to come. And then it left. Wow. So whether that, whatever, was an angel or an encounter with something from the spiritual realm, and then the surgery happened and it didn't go like it was planned. And so just neat that it wasn't anything that contradicted Scripture. Actually, it quoted Scripture.
Yeah.
Right? My grace is sufficient for you, Barb, for what's coming. Wow. So just, again, you think about angels being ministering spirits, you know, didn't appear as a person, but whatever that was ministered to my mom and dad, which is just really powerful, I think. Yeah. So it's just neat that God cares about his people and he uses different means, whether it's the word of God, whether it's an angel or whatever, to encourage and protect his people. And so I think it's wise, though, you know, to kind of end and talk about what do you do? Yeah, use discernment. And maybe I'm just over skeptical. Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, well, I think that's wise advice.
Yeah. So don't just, by the next book that comes out because someone claims that they went to heaven or someone claims that they saw an angel. Like, we have to be isn't that in Acts, the Bereans, who were people that were
more noble than the Thessalonians? Yes, there because to search the scriptures.
They search the scriptures, and I think that applies to us today, that anything that we read or anything that we listen to or any sermon or any podcast or any book that we go, okay, does this line up with the Word of God? And if it does, then great. It's a great encouragement. But if not, we just go, okay, that's not from God. Plain and simple, really. Mm-hmm. God would never contradict himself. Yeah. So I think that's the encouragement. I don't know. Any last words about angels?
Yeah, maybe just Hebrews chapter 1, he spends a full chapter of, obviously, they were lifting angels up higher than they should too, and he says the angels are ministering spirits for those who will inherit salvation. And then he says the Son is the one who's the final revelation. Mm. He radiates God's own glory, the very character of God.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 2, he says, don't drift away from this message, the message God delivered. And he says it was finalized in his Son. So the angels are pointing us and themselves to the Son, and that's the focus we should have. And sometimes, like you said, God may use angels to encourage us in a hard time, but it's always going to be pointing to the Son,
exactly.
The final revelation. So
yeah. Amen. So hopefully that's been helpful for maybe some of you who listen or have always wondered about angels or demons or what is the deal with that. So hopefully it's a good reminder that the physical world is not all that exists. There is a very real spiritual realm. And the Bible seems to suggest that, you know, we have to almost lift our eyes, you know, and look to the things that are not seen, right? Because that's actually what's most important. So I don't know. It's just a good reminder that there is a very real spiritual realm, and it gives a good, I don't know, sense of urgency to live our lives in a way that makes a difference and that matters, not just wasting our days on earth, I guess. So hopefully that's been an encouragement. And as always, if you do have other questions or stuff that would be useful to talk about, you can always email us or call us or text us or Facebook us or whatever. We have hundreds of ways that you can get in touch with us. So we will talk to you next week.